This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, or at least had a chance to kick back and stock up and do whatever it is that you need to get ready for the week. And what an interesting week this is going to be. This is the week we're going to find out about whether or not the affidavit that was used in that search warrant at Mar-a-Lago, the shakedown at the former president's house in Florida, what was in it. And remember, the former president said, release it, let people know, transparency. But there will be some redactions, that's for sure. But the judge, I think, was leaning toward doing that. And Thursday is probably the day we'll find out, or at least that's the deadline for the Department of Justice to put in their request for the redactions if he rules that it'll be popped open. So this is something to watch because we're all curious. I mean, it became bigger and bigger and bigger because this hasn't happened before. And I'm curious, and I'm curious as to whether or not they're going to do it or not. Senator Lindsey Graham gets a break. He doesn't have to testify in the Georgia election investigation. It's on hold anyway. He was supposed to be there on Tuesday. He was going to testify in as to what he knew about the 2020 election loss in Georgia, but it's on a temporary hold anyway. The district judge denied Graham's request to quash his subpoena on Friday and rejected the effort, you know, to put the decision on hold while he appealed. And his lawyers did appeal to the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, because that's what you do. But on Sunday, a three-judge panel of appeals issued the order temporarily pausing that judge's order in declining to quash the subpoena. So that's gobbledygook. I'll cut through the law, ease. Basically, he doesn't have to testify, right? There's a temporary stay, I'll call it. And eventually that may happen, but it's not happening right now. Because the claim is that there were calls. There were phone calls between, well, we know there was phone calls between Donald Trump and the Georgia Secretary of State. And during that conversation, Trump suggested he could find the votes needed to overturn the narrow loss in the state. Or there was, you heard the conversation was played all over the place. So they're saying they want to ask Graham about two phone calls they say he made. They're saying he made phone calls and his staff after the general election. And in those calls, he asked about reexamining certain absentee ballots in Georgia in order to explore the possibility of a more favorable outcome. That's why this has become a thing and why he's going to be asked to testify about whether that happened or not. But for now, it's on hold. And I think this week, the focus is going to be on the affidavit of what were they searching for. I mean, what were they searching for, these documents that the ex-president, the former president, says were unclassified, but was in that affidavit that prompted the search. Whew. It's like I've just jumped through five hoops to explain this, right? Yes. All right, here's something in your neighborhood that you want to be aware of, especially if you're in the Midwest. You know how the weekends are. You're whipped. Or during the week, the beginning of the week, you just say, you know what? We're just having fast food. So you pull into whatever fast food place. Wendy's is actually pulling lettuce from sandwiches because they've got an E. coli breakout that they're trying to track down. And this is restaurants in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania because people have gotten ill after eating them. So the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said heading into the weekend they're trying to determine whether romaine lettuce is the source of the E. coli outbreak that has sickened at least 37 people, and whether romaine used at Wendy's was also served or sold at other businesses, because, you know, that's that wild tracing that you have to do to figure out what farms they came from, how they were processed, and all of that. And you know what? I do pay attention to this stuff. I pay attention to this stuff because I got food poisoning. I don't know if I talked about this on the air. I got food poisoning probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it was awful. I mean, it was awful. I was scared. I had, because I really haven't, I don't get sick that much. So, you know, if I'm not on the air and I say I'm sick, I am sick. And I was super, super sick. And it was definitely food poisoning. And it came from lettuce, but I think it came from me not realizing. See, this is what happens. Trying to eat healthy, making green shakes. And I had some of that kale. I cannot eat kale. Sorry, I cannot eat kale on its own. And I was putting it in those power shakes, making these power shakes. And I think it was outdated. I didn't know it was outdated because I'm really good at looking at that stuff. So you got to be so careful. In the washing of everything that you know, especially vegetables, that kind of stuff. And it was just a great reminder to me because it was scary, scary bad. And, you know, food poisoning can last, I guess, up to a week. It did not last a week, but it was a couple of days the first day was the worst. But, and many of you may have had this, so you totally relate to what I'm saying. But then I got, you know, 1 or 2 days into it, then I finally started to feel better. So be careful out there with, you know, pay attention to whatever those warnings are. But they're taking the lettuce off. So that is a very, very, very good thing. This is scary. Monkeypox is no big deal until it is a big deal. So New York reported their first known case of monkeypox in a child under 18. What they're saying is the kid, or the county where the case was reported, wasn't specified in the report anyway, but it was in New York City. But they're saying that there's 2,700 something confirmed monkeypox cases in New York as of Friday, and it seems like they're the epicenter of the outbreak. So they're trying to find more vaccines, they're trying to get testing spots, and they're trying to educate people on how to stay safe during the outbreak. But it's not good when you hear that a child got it, because the fear is, you know, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal, but now it's spreading to all kinds of younger kids. Is it going to spread to more? Or no, this was just a rare freak thing. I mean, you got to all these health things. But when we first heard about monkeypox, oh, no, no, big deal. Then, oh, there's not enough vaccines. Oh, there's it's just same sex guys that are the population that are being affected by this, and it's not just, but they're being affected by it, and now, oh, is it spreading to other populations? Yeah. And here's something that, because I live in the lightning capital of the country, or at least one of them anyway, it's really strange that this may be something that's happening or has been talked about in your neck of the woods. But boy, have there been a lot of lightning strikes. We had those people that died, sadly, the three people in Washington, D.C., and there was a lightning strike near an elementary school in an area not far from where I live, where it's just simple. She's walking a dog. She's taking one of her children to the school to pick up the other one. Then lightning hits an area where she is, and she dies, and they try to revive her, but they can't. Sad. But the other kid survives, thank goodness. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief watching the world lose its mind. As we all know, global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits are in stock and ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats standing in government food lines. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Definitely, I had a couple of Yankee fans who reached out to me through the miracle of the mailbag and said they were really so sad by what had happened. The game started late for the Yankees, and they ended up losing. They were swept by the Astros. So the World Series will be the Philadelphia Phillies and the Houston Astros. Wow. The Astros beat them 6-5. And I'll tell you what, Alex Bregman is just a Yankee killer. He was in this series anyway. I'm as shocked as anyone because they had so many good moments during the regular season. But anyway, that rounds it out. So we won't even talk about that in the mailbag. The Phillies and the Yankees start on Friday. And yes, it is a stunner. We had Bernie Williams on the show to talk about his father's lung disease and what he's doing to make awareness for some particular lung things that were happening, not related to COVID, etc. And I asked him about the Yankees, and I think he would be as surprised as anyone that they didn't at least take a couple of games or make it much more interesting against the Astros. But the Astros were super, super solid. I talked about, just briefly touching on the fact that midterm elections, we know the economy, abortion issue is going to be huge. Abortion, economy, illegal immigration, I think will play a part in people's mindset of the way they're voting and what they're thinking when they actually go to vote, or if they vote early, etc., or vote on the day. But I saw something I thought was interesting. I saw a headline. It might have been on Drudge where they said, a poll reveals staggering polarization ahead of midterms. I am so not shocked by that. I'm so not shocked that there is massive polarization. Are you shocked by that? I know you're not. This is such a smart audience. So I guess they're just making the obvious obvious. But NBC did a news poll, and they say that sky-high interest and polarization, the actual polarization ahead of the midterms, is part of the deal. 80% of Democrats and Republicans, according to this poll, believe the political opposition poses a threat. If not stopped, they're going to destroy America. So Democrats think the Republicans will destroy America. Republicans think Democrats will destroy America. This is not shocking to me. If you've been paying attention for the last 5-6 years, at least, even before that, I would say, we started to see some of that. Now, there was a few interesting findings, specific things, where they show that, you know, this is obviously going to be a competitive contest for November, and trying to predict it is much harder. For Biden, approval ratings are at 45%. Congressional preferences, so 47% of registered voters preferring Democrats to control Congress versus 46 who want Republicans. I mean, that's practically dead even in this poll, right? For Republican voters, the positive signs are that Biden's approval among independents and swing state voters is in the 30s and the low 40s. So the enthusiasm is not there. Republicans leading congressional preference among the set of likely voters, 48% to 47. But again, this is margin of error stuff. That's why I think so much of this will be very, very tough to predict. I mean, the polls are popular for a reason, and pollsters and huge polling companies make serious cash to try to predict outcomes and to also look at what people are thinking to help in a run-up to an election. But this was interesting. The NBC poll found that 70% of all registered voters expressed a high interest in the election. So 70%, either a 9 or a 10, they gave them a 10-point scale, the highest percentage ever in a survey for a midterm election. Well, you looked at the early voting. I talked about that last week, how many people were early voting. So I'm also not surprised by that. I think we're going to see, in the end, some of the highest numbers that we have ever, ever seen when it comes to voting in a midterm election where it's not a presidential race. Because normally you would think that pulls out more people. It does. If we were to go back in history and trace it all back, we would find that just even in some cases just by a little bit. But I think these are going to be some of the highest numbers that we've seen, period, especially when you hear about the interest just in the midterm elections. And so much of that is driven, I think it's so much of it is driven by anger, by economic concerns, like I said, like the abortion issue, which is polarizing, like crime, like immigration, all of that, depending on the state, depending on who's in, depending on so many other factors as to specifically what that voter base, what they may do. But some of these are going to be very, very close to call. And when we're on the air, I think when I'm on the air, which is what I love about this show, when I'm on the air, I don't think a lot of these races are going to be so close. I'm going to be giving you hot, what I call hot numbers, that are not final numbers because of the interest, which I think it's good. I think that no matter what, I think it's good that there's high interest and that in a country where we live in one of the greatest, I think we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, we have freedom. We have, even if we're furious at some of the things that are happening, we have the freedom to vote the way we want to vote. We might not like it. We might not like some of the choices, but we have that freedom. I say this all the time. The more you're involved locally, it starts, and then statewide, and then we're talking about federal elections, the more things can change because votes do matter. Too often I think people don't think votes matter, and then they're shocked by the results because they assumed that it wouldn't matter. They assumed it wouldn't matter. I'm getting a lot of questions about COVID and these variants I've talked about and people that we've had on, and are we going to see a big winter wave of COVID cases? Remember when we went into the beginning of 2022, we thought we were free and clear, baby. The ball dropped, and that was it. We were off to the races, but lo and behold, a nasty variant knocked a lot of people out, and meaning knocked them out from coming back to offices, and offices didn't open up, and there was a big wave of cases. So now there are these subvariants that are starting to burst out in California, and in Los Angeles County, and in San Francisco in the Bay Area, they're warning that it could be a lengthy decline in new infections, because they're looking at the trends, right? And especially the most dominant one is still the one we've talked about for a long time. The Omicron subvariant BA5 is the dominant one. It's been that way for months and months and months, but it's those stupid subvariants that could be the worst, because are we going to be more infectious, or can we evade it? Because that's what we're trying to figure out here, right? Every time I see a new variant, that's the first thing that I think of. But BA5 accounts for about 62% of all new coronavirus cases. But it's down from mid-August, when it was really thought to be the push behind about 86% of cases. That's a big fall from, you know, where it was. If you think about it, you've got California, Arizona, Nevada, Hawaii, and the U.S. Pacific Territories. BA5 is the most common, 72%. But in some areas of the country, there are some of these other strains that are really kind of creeping in there, and that's what the big look is as to what are we going to see, how are we going to see this grow, right? So let's put it this way. We knew that we were in some way going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about it's not completely gone, right? That's why get the free test. Then, you know, you can just take it and you can know whether you have it or not. You take one test, take another test, you're not sure. And that way you don't get caught up in, ooh, should I go? Should I not go into work? What should I do? Mailbag coming up.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Colorado all held debates on Tuesday. The candidates' conversations centered around topics including COVID response and Roe v. Wade. One of the candidates in the Keystone State is a recognizable figure from daytime television, Dr. Mehmet Oz. Texas Senator Ted Cruz feels meeting Americans in their living rooms may be just the ticket.
I think conservatives, we need to do a much better job reaching out to a broader audience. I think we need to be talking to young people and Hispanics and African Americans and suburban moms.
The Department of Energy says heating oil prices will be 27% higher this winter. Stockpiles of the commodity in New England are currently at just a third of normal levels. Wholesalers have begun rationing their supply to prevent panic buying and hoarding. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Australia for a conversation with David Reedman. His book is A Man's Greatest Challenge. And what is a man's greatest challenge? And that is the other part of this is being a father. We had an interesting conversation off the air, and it's something that I've talked about here on this show with many different people. The situation we find ourselves in now, especially with young men and what's happening in the world. David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Tell me your road to writing the book. What made you decide you were going to write the book?
For me, it's the culmination of a personal journey, firstly. I grew up in a strong home and family. When I went out teaching, initially I was a secondary school teacher. The school I was teaching in was the worst in our state. And the homes that the children came from that I taught were completely different to mine. There were some good homes, some bad ones, and that stimulated me to let's have a look at and just observe and see what I can learn, what makes a good father, what makes a bad father, because at that stage I was still single. When I married, I wanted to be the best dad I could. Since then, we have worked a lot in as a minister and in youth training and leadership and mentoring, and it became more obvious that there are many young men growing up who want to be a good father but just really have no idea what's involved. And so the experiences from my mentoring and in ministering and working with families as a minister and so on began to do that personally, and was then encouraged by a number of people and prompted particularly by my 3 kids, Dad, you need to put this in writing so that more people can access it.
We're not going to tell everybody everything, but give us a couple of nuggets of what does it take to be a good father?
I think to be a good father, one, you need to be committed to the task and realize that it's an ongoing task that never changes. It just goes on year after year after year. It's a task that you'll never see the full results of, but you're actually building a legacy that you'll see in your children and your grandchildren as they live along. The important principles I think that I've found, it's important to love your kids, and love for children is spelled T-I-M-E. It's about the time that we spend with them, the time that we're involved in what they're doing. And that's an important principle that I've found, and it's outworked in many different ways. Another one is the power of the words that we speak. Almost every child or every person that I've spoken to, even as an adult, as a minister, all of them can remember words that were spoken either by their parents or a teacher or a sporting coach when they were young that is still influencing their life, positive or negative, today. And so as a father, the words we speak are so incredibly important into building the lives of our kids.
How gratifying is it when you really embrace that role as your children were telling you you should write this book? What's that feeling like?
For me, there are a lot of things I'd like to achieve in life, but the greatest thing I ever want to achieve and ever want to be remembered for come my funeral is I was a great father and a great dad and a great granddad. And now my children are all married. They're all in the process of having their own children and grandchildren. And they consistently, in cards on Mother's Day, Father's Day, and those sorts of events, writing to us as a family, comment on what they've appreciated and how I've inputted into their life and how it's now enriching theirs. And to me, that's the greatest satisfaction I can get.
Yeah. Mentoring, that word comes up a lot. And I think sometimes people don't understand what mentoring is. When you decide you're going to mentor, and when you're mentoring boys who are in a situation maybe where they don't have that strong father figure, they don't have a father, there's been a divorce, there's been something else that's happened, or they lost their father, that's a key thing that you talk about, right, mentoring?
It is. It's an important thing, and I think mentoring involves, the same as raising children, mentoring involves time. You've got to be committed to spend time with the person that you're working with, that you're journeying with as they go through. You need to be, you need to know what you're talking about first, and I think I've got a reasonable amount of experience there. And you need to be open to sharing your life, not just your successes, because I think I've learned more sometimes in the mistakes that I've made rather than necessarily the right thing I did from the word scratch. And helping them to see as you walk the journey with them that, hey, you can learn something from good things, you can learn something from bad things, but you're there as a mentor to support them, not to judge them, but to support them in what they're doing and help them to become more effective as fathers.
We're speaking with David Reedman. His book is A Man's Greatest Challenge, Being a Father. Are you worried for where we are as a society in the United States, in Australia, in the UK, and around the world? Because people all over are listening to this interview.
I am concerned about the future. I mean, various people, some of your presidents, George Bush and Barack Obama and various other people have highlighted in significant addresses, State of the Union addresses and those sorts of things, that fatherlessness they see as one of the major social ills affecting society, American society today. The young men represented in prison populations, in taking their own lives, in drug addiction and so on, the vast percentage of those young men significantly are people who came from fatherless homes and families. Research in Australia in the last 10 years is showing that a child's social development, their language skills, their results in school, their ability to be able to get a job, the level of their income, all those sort of things in later life are affected by whether a father's at home or not. And the fact that fatherlessness is increasing in our society, doesn't go well for our society.
Boy, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. The you have a website, amansgreatestchallenge.com, www.amansgreatestchallenge.com. The book itself, what do you hope people take away from reading the book?
I hope that they take away from the story, because it's written, I suppose, from the, it's the things I've learned, and I've used lots of personal examples, that they themselves, there are some simple principles that if they implement those effectively, they can begin to see positive changes taking place in their lives and in the lives of their kids. And I want them to be encouraged that they can do it. It is possible. It will never be easy, and I don't think it ever has been easy. But it is possible, and the rewards at the end are more than worth all the effort and time you put into it.
Yeah, what are some of the simple principles?
I think for me, one of the simple principles, I think, is just talking with kids, the language that we use, and we need to talk to our kids. We need to teach our kids, which is more than just talking to them, but it's actually explaining what we're saying and why we're saying it, and that's going to be relevant to where they are in terms of their just growth and development. We need to train our kids. In the past, it was traditional and still is in some societies in the world that a young person, a young man, and then also a young woman, are trained by their parents in the trade of their parent. And while we don't do that in our Western society, there are so many areas in life where we need to train, which is more than talking and more than explaining it, but it's working with them hands-on in whatever it is we're trying to do, whatever they're trying to achieve. And in that process, and it all takes time, there's a process of transfer. You gradually, I'm at a stage now where now I do and have done for years, can look back and see there are so many things that I'm doing that I unconsciously picked up from just watching the example of my father. And now I've put that into practice in my life, and I'm seeing my children and more recently my grandchildren doing things. And it's kind of like, well, as my son said the other day when I celebrated my 70th birthday, he said, "Dad, when I look at the lives of my kids, I see them doing things and I remember, hey, Dad used to do that. Dad showed us how to do that." And those principles, there's just some of the principles that are important in building a great family.
And it has to make you feel good that you know that the influence was there because it was from your father to you, transferred to your children, and then so on and so forth down the line. So there really is no doubt those critical moments are those formative years, right?
They are, and they're so important. And I think one of the things that, I mean, there was a lot of debate years ago about whether we spend quality time or quantity time with our children. And for me, I don't think there's any real distinction between the two. I think when you spend time, my son for a period during his high school years was picked for an elite volleyball training squad here in South Australia. And at that stage, he couldn't drive. So I used to drive him backwards and forwards to every training session. And that literally consumed hours every week. But it was often in those times when he would raise things in a conversation that you could begin to explore. Hey, the kids at school have been talking about this or doing that. What do you think? And it's those sorts of things that you transfer something across, something's taught, something's imparted in their lives. It wasn't intentional. Sometimes you can't plan for it. It's a matter of just being there and open to the opportunities.
Yeah. Wow. What a terrific interview. David Reedman, A Man's Greatest Challenge, Being a Father. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever great books are sold. You can go to the website, and that's www.amansgreatestchallenge.com. Thanks so much.
Hey
guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Here we are at the tail end of the show. Four, yes, fair or foul.
Signal fair.
After the fair.
It's a hard foul there.
Fakes on a fair.
What a hard foul.
Invalid fair signal.
It's a hard foul.
Jeremy Paulson joins us. He is the man behind the technicals on this show. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, that's my bad. I thought it was a normal segment.
A normal segment.
Far from normal.
Yeah, far from normal. That's right. So, this was a week where neither one of our teams were playing football teams, the Eagles or the Vikings. So here's a good fair or foul. When your teams aren't playing, should you or can you root for other teams that week?
I enjoy football, so yeah, I would say that's fair.
Yep, I say it's fair too. It's fair to watch football. You're a football fan, I'm a football fan, so if you're a fan of whatever sport it is you're watching, yeah, absolutely. If your person gets knocked out, if it's an individual sport, it doesn't mean you turn away from...
And it's easier when you have your rivals, because then you can root for whoever's playing them, like Packers.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that didn't work out too well for me, because I've got NFC East, which is crushing it. I mean, everybody won. The Cowboys, the Giants, you look at that and you just say, oh, yeah, this is a little bit different. NFC East, which was the NFC least before, this is now
doing good.
Tough. Yeah, I'm doing good. The East is the best. It's the best division out there. You have the Eagles, who are 6-0, the Giants 6-1, the Cowboys 5-2. Only the Commanders are 3-4. That's it. Right? That's it. And by the way, hats off to the Cardinals. We didn't have anyone who nailed the score, but
that was a high scoring game.
The Cardinals beat the Saints. And this is tough because we got great listeners in both places, but some of those pickoffs made the big difference there. 42-34 was the
Everyone was in the 20s. That's way over.
Really crazy. All right, and speaking of sports, and that's why I started that way, the wave. When you go to sporting events, you know, people do the wave constantly. It was really fun at first, but now it's almost, is it mandatory that when your section comes up, you have to wave, you have to wave, you have to get up and wave, you have to get up and wave?
Now everyone has their own niche, you know, like the skull chant. Yeah, I love it. Love it. It's cool.
No, but people still do the wave. I've been to many sporting events. It's massive. So still, even if you do your skull chants or whatever, they do the wave. So you have to do the wave. And I think sometimes you got to put some of that stuff away. I don't know. I don't know why the wave is popular anymore. I think it should go away.
I think everyone should get their own niche.
Yeah, get something. Yeah. Yeah, put the wave away. So we agree on that. It's foul. Skydiving, fair or foul?
Foul for me, because I'm afraid of heights. I don't think I would ever do that. Oh, no.
So you're afraid of heights. So anything, any kind of climbing up, like going into the Statue of Liberty with narrow steps would make you kind of freaked out? Being on a balcony of a high hotel somewhere?
To an extent. I mean, I would be fine a little bit.
A little bit. That doesn't sound good. I think you shouldn't get out on any balconies then, if that's how you feel. You know what? That's kind of an aging thing. I think a lot of times people, when you're younger, you don't have that. But then when you get older, that kind of happens to a lot of people.
I grew up in planes most of my childhood, like flying in planes, because my grandfather was a pilot, and it never bugged me. But it's just different.
It's just different now. Well, if you know, you just say it. No, there's no way I'm skydive.
Planes are different.
It's, you know, my two nephews skydived over the summertime, and they loved it. They said it was the biggest thrill of their life. I have a friend who was a TV anchor. Her son was graduating from college, and he wanted his mother, my friend, his best friend. Well, wait, let me finish the story. He wanted his mother to skydive, who was a TV anchor in San Diego, and her and his best friend's mother, and they did it. Like they did it with their sons. I was like, wow, that's incredible. And it's incredible that my nephews did it. I was so surprised by that. But no, I wanted to do it before. When I was in college, I wanted to go, and then there was a skydiving accident, and the guy I was going to go with said, you know what, should we not do this? And I was like, yeah, let's not do it. Neither one of us wanted to after that. It dissuaded us because, like, oh, the place where we were going to go, they just had an accident. No, thank you. And I just saw this thing where a Tennessee grandfather fell to his death in a skydiving accident at a high school football game. How sad is that? He's 55 years old. He was an experienced skydiver, and he was doing a pregame ceremony for fun, you know, to really get the crowd excited. And he was injured when he landed, is what happened, and he died. By the time they got him to the hospital, died. That's awful.
We are meant to be on the ground.
We are meant to be on the ground. We are meant. That's hashtag. We are meant to be on the ground.
We have
Icarus
for walking.
I agree. We're meant to be. We both agree on that, but a lot of people would disagree. They would say it's like a defining moment in their life. They overcome fears and anxiety, and it's the best.
That's what you're doing. You're overcoming what you're supposed to be. You know, we don't have wings. We're not supposed to be in the air. We don't have gills. We're not supposed to be in the water.
forget the skydiving thing. I agree. Inflatable hot tub, that's popular now. Fair or foul? Or do you think it's kind of cheesy?
I think it's kind of cheesy, but I see it. I get it. You know, it's a cheap way to have some fun, you know. So I would say fair, because it's a cheap way to have fun.
Okay, so it's cheesy, but okay, it's okay to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at least it's not the tarp in the back of a truck filled with water.
Yeah, that would be really tough. You know, some of them are cheap and some of them are expensive. You can get an inflatable hot tub at Walmart, a 6-foot hot tub that can fit 4 people for less than $400.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Cheap way to have some fun.
Yeah, but then there are more expensive ones. There's one, it's like a square inflatable hot tub, and it's over $1,200.
See, that I think is a little foul, because, I mean, if you're going to spend that much, you might as well just get a nice hot tub.
Just get a regular hot tub.
Yeah, if you're going to spend, why get an inflatable for over $1,000? It's like, that defeats the purpose.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you like hot tubs?
Oh, my parents had one. I like hot tubs, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're, you know what, in cold weather places, there's people listening to us in cold weather places, when you, like, skiing, or when you're in places where it snows and they have those hot tubs, oh, that's the best.
Yeah, it's awesome sitting at my parents' house in the back when it's, like, below zero, snow everywhere, and you're just sitting in the hot tub, you're like, oh, that's so great.
Yeah, that's when it's so worth it.
And then you get out and you realize the issue.
Yeah, oh, it's freezing. What was I thinking? But I think it's cool. I went to a place one time called Ouray, Colorado, which they have, it's like they have all these mines and ghost, it's like a ghost town. It's really cool. And it's by the Durango, not far from the Durango Silverton train. Put that on your list, people, if you've never been there. But anyway, they had a lot of places with hot tubs because people skied. It was near Telluride, too, and they'd go there. And it was awesome to be in that cool, crisp Colorado air and all the stars and be in a hot tub. I was the best. Yeah, we agree. All right, now on that trip, would you have an electric toothbrush? Fair or foul electric toothbrushes?
Fair. They're super good for your teeth. They actually help, especially if you get the right ones that, like, do the sonic treatment. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? They're worth whatever money they cost. Because obviously it's going to be more than the plastic toothbrush you pick up. I think so, too, because then you won't have your teeth hopefully drilled as much.
Well, yeah, it breaks the tartar up because it shakes more and it, like, vibrates it loose.
Yeah, it's worth it. The electric toothbrush is worth it. Speaking of things electric, how about electric bikes? That's a big thing now all over the whole country. Is that fair or foul? Not motorcycles, because you ride a motorcycle, but I'm saying electric bikes.
Yeah, fair. I actually want an electric scooter.
You want a scooter?
Yeah, because then I can ride it to work, because my one job's only 4 blocks away. I can just, like,
Oh, yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it
would be great.
Yeah.
They're expensive, though. I looked them up. They're expensive.
They are expensive. Electric bikes, well, they come in all different types, too, where you can get them where it's a little bit cheaper, but most of them seem to hover around, like, $600 on the cheapest side.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're more than that, $800, $900, $1,200.
Like, on an electric scooter.
Yeah, so inflatable hot tub or an electrical scooter, I don't know. Toss up. Ask Santa. Yeah, ask Santa. All right, Jeremy Paulson, always fun with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Remember, you can email me, like I said during the mailbag segment, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website,
katedelaneyradio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.